Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Jerry O'Lennon. I'll be your host till the top of the hour, along with Gidi Hansen, licensed marriage and family therapist over at The Growing Place. Good morning, Gidi. How are you?
Good morning. I am well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm excited about the next few discussions about things that couples do in order to have a successful relationship.
Yes.
I like this.
To be happy. Yes.
When I got married, I'm of a Lutheran faith. My wife is Roman Catholic, and we got married in the Roman Catholic Church. That's okay. But so we had to get married and go take some sort of like a weekend camp where you take counseling.
Oh yes, like a premarital counseling or
right.
Postmarital, which was
absolute waste of time. But maybe it's because I didn't take it too seriously. Maybe I should have. But. Hey, 17 years later, we're still married, and we have two
Praise
wonderful
God.
Kids, and so
yes,
you know, it hasn't always been smooth. But you know, we've gotten married, and things are actually getting better as we're getting older. But there's some things that this research shows. It's based on scientific.
Yes, it's based on studies and research.
Studies, not science.
It's based on people reporting, the people interviewed, that this is what they do that they feel makes them happy. As a couple.
Well, that's interesting, because if somebody were to ask, you know, somebody, a couple, are you guys happy? Everybody would say yes. They'd all say, oh, yeah, we're a happy couple.
Until they got into the counseling
room.
Yeah,
and then wink, wink, nod, nod. I guess I'll be a little bit challenging here. Maybe you don't know the answer to this, but I mean, how do we know that these people really are happy? Because nobody really knows what goes on. We've had this discussion before. People on the outside, oh, they're a wonderful couple. There's a lot of love there. Everything is Jake. Everything is great. And then you close the door and they're screaming and yelling, you know, 10 seconds later.
Yeah, usually in counseling that comes out. Like if a couple comes in and the wife is miserable and the husband says, everything is fine and we never have any problems and we never argue, I already know that, whoa, there's a lot wrong here.
Do you ever get a couple that comes in and just says, man, we are each other like cats and dogs constantly.
Oh, yes.
They just come right out and just get it out on the table.
Absolutely. They're usually at the point of giving up on the marriage by the time
right.
they come in.
Yeah.
Not everyone, but many are.
Right.
So, and some of them are just going through the motions so they can say, and we went to counseling and it didn't work.
You know?
They can just go ahead and get divorced.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
right.
But let's focus on the positive.
So these are couples we're gonna trust what they're saying is that they're a happy couple.
And you know what?
Okay.
Try it yourself.
Okay, let's see.
And
right.
see if it works for you. So the first thing they say is go to bed at the same time. Now you and I know this is a euphemism for be physically and sexually available to your partner.
Okay. I wasn't sure that's what it meant.
I think so. I'm reading that into it.
Okay.
Because if you go to bed at different times, it's going to make it much less likely to be intimate with your couple or even to be on the same page. You know, one goes to bed at 9, one goes to bed at midnight. By the time the guy comes in at midnight or the gal comes in at midnight, the other member of the couple is sound asleep. So it's important to have the very last moments of the day. And different couples have different bedtime rituals that they do for bonding. It doesn't just have to be sexual relations.
No, it doesn't.
Many different things.
Let's watch a program we enjoy watching together. Let's read a book together. It could be something that you guys just, the people just like doing.
Now, I would advise, this is my advice now, this is not based on clinical studies, don't have a television in the bedroom.
Really? Okay,
yeah,
well, that's too late for us.
Because it's going to interfere with your marriage.
Okay.
And do you really want the last things you hear before you go to sleep
yeah,
be
CNN.
Some commercial?
Yeah, last thing you want to hear is Anderson Cooper's voice.
Or somebody's tense and worried and terrorism and, you know, you have bad dreams all night. I call it a marriage killer.
Really? You see, now that's...
That's my theory now.
You're probably right. I mean,
get it out
you.
Of the bedroom.
Yeah.
Get it far away from the bedroom. Have it in the family room or living room and where you got to walk. And the bedroom is your sanctuary. It's quiet. It's peaceful.
Yeah.
It's inviting. It's not this place where strangers come in and bark at you on the television and try to sell you things.
I'm going to write that down. No TV in the bedroom. Yes, that's a good one. So, yeah, so, but there's more to
I'll
it.
I'll tell you the other thing that hurts bedtime is when the couple each get their own reclining chair in front of the television, and it's the last thing they do at night. So what happens? They fall asleep in this comfortable recliner watching television, then they drag themselves to bed and immediately fall asleep. That's another, in my book, it's not based on any studies or anything.
And television is really, it's the third party into the relationship.
Exactly.
It's bringing in a third person.
And it's bringing in the world and all of its garbage.
And so the man and the woman aren't connecting with each other. They're connecting with a third with a third person.
We
so
call
to speak.
That triangulation.
Triangulation.
In a relationship.
That's good. Yeah. So and so it doesn't just mean, you know, go to bed at the same time. And so this is more of a euphemism for, as you say,
relate to each other and be with each other.
Some sort of physical, emotional connection.
Fellowship, union, bond. It could be emotional. It doesn't have to only be physical or sexual. You're together. You talk. Some of the couples have their best discussions just before they go to bed. And it's not like you're up all night having long and, you know, complicated discussions, but just very sweet things that people can say to each other.
Now, there might be some people who because they haven't done this enough, where they're going to say, what are we going to talk about? We're going to stare at each other because we're so used to having this third party.
I know. You'll go through withdrawal getting away from that, probably.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. We could talk a lot about the TV in the bedroom, but we're going to have other things to discuss on things that happy people do, happy couples do for a successful marriage. Go to bed at the same time and no TV in the bedroom. Okay, that's something that right there, I got to put a check on that. We're going to take a break. We'll continue. We've got nine others to discuss. We'll continue our discussion with Gidi after the break.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio.
Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes.
This is Live Local Talk.
So wake me up when
you know what?
Yeah. We're back on here with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist. This is her wheelhouse right here. Consider the 10 things that make couples happy. The first one was go to bed at the same time.
Yes.
And actually connect with your partner.
Yes.
And not through a third party. That even includes children, because a lot of times my kids are still young enough where they want to come in and, you know, my youngest likes to jump into the beds. You know what else
it includes? It includes the computer, the cell phone.
Right.
The iPad, the tablet, all those electronic things. It's not just the TV.
Right.
It's all these other things. Oh, I got to read my emails before I go to bed. Or I got to text so-and-so.
Right.
Oh, man. That all of those third parties are right there in your bedroom.
Right. That's a good one. Let's move on to the next one. But,
okay.
The next one is, I'll let you say it.
Okay. Cultivate some common interests.
Cultivate.
Cultivate has a very special meaning. What does it mean to you?
Okay. Create some. Cultivate.
And to cultivate means to plant, to water, to grow.
You would think that if you're married and you're already sharing the same bed, you should probably already have cultivated some common interests to get this far.
Oh, my dear naive journalist.
Well, really?
Maybe in the beginning they had some common interests.
Right.
Now they're like two strangers, two ships in the night, just passing by. You know, they have their own schedules, they have their own worries and concerns, and their heart and soul and their emotional connection is outside the marriage and outside of the home.
Well,
so common.
I won't give too much of my marriage away, but we had an interesting situation in our marriage where we have doors. And, cupboard doors. I don't like handles on cupboard doors, unless it's in the kitchen, because your hands get dirty, so you don't want to get them. But I generally like no knobs, because I just think it looks cleaner, it looks sleeker, it looks more, to me, and when we went on Facebook, it was like, the men said, oh, no doorknobs. It look, yeah. And the women said, got to have a doorknob, because it's just more pride. Got to have a doorknob, you know? So finally, I really didn't give a darn. It ultimately, it just doesn't matter to me. But I realized after this recent discussion with my wife, it really mattered to her. She really wanted to discuss this. What do you think of these? What do you think of these? I got a clear one, because you like clear ones. You said, you know, they should not be obtrusive, uh-huh. or a white one. I says, yeah, I don't like brass stuff, because it's too obvious. I like to be more sleek and uniform. That's just me. And she actually, to her credit, probably went out and took my advice. And then she started putting them together. And I think she said, well, what do you, and I was like, I don't really care. And I probably should have cared, because I was wrong there. And I needed to acknowledge that, you know what, that was a small little thing that mattered to her. But I should have said, you know, I really should have gotten more involved.
And you know, yeah, what you can tell yourself, not your wife or your spouse,
right,
is you can tell yourself, I don't care about the doorknobs, but I care about you.
Well, you know, I did say that.
You are important. And if this is what you want, sweetheart, you just get any kind of doorknob that makes your heart happy.
And you know, and it was sort of like, and I was sincere. I think she thought I was just blowing her off. I just said, it doesn't really matter to me. Get any doorknobs you want. If you're happy, it's your house. Get whatever you want. But I think she wanted me to care. That was the thing.
I don't care is not a good lead out.
But the truth is, besides being honest.
Well, you can say, I care about you.
I said that. I said, I care that what makes you happy.
But just
makes
now
me
when
happy.
You said, I don't care, it didn't sound like you were caring.
Right.
It sounded like you were just kind of blowing it off, like just do whatever you want.
Okay, maybe the care is the wrong word. It doesn't matter to me. That would be an honest assessment. Look, it doesn't matter to me whether they're round or they're
thin. But it sounded to me like it did matter.
Well, initially, but whatever, when she finally got them, I was like, okay, it's not important to me.
That would be a good moment to bond with her.
Yeah.
That whatever she got, bite your tongue if you don't like it.
Yeah, yeah.
And tell yourself, my wife is more important than doorknobs.
Yeah.
I'm going to support her. I'm going to develop a common interest with her. Oh. It can be a choice.
See, I was probably wrong on that one. That's where I should have said, you know what, it does matter to me, because it matters to you. Because she was really getting into this whole doorknob
thing.
Well,
they said, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
But likewise, I don't want to bring up family issues here, but it happens the other way, too. Where I'm like, this is something that really matters to me, and I want to worry about the doorknobs.
You give what you get, you know.
Exactly.
It's a give and take. Like, yeah. I was not into football at all.
Right.
I didn't like it. I still really don't like the violence involved, and especially after I saw that movie Concussion.
Right.
I just don't like people getting hurt. I love the competitiveness of it, and I love the game aspect and the sport. And those guys, they're gorgeous to look at, I have to admit. But I don't like the violence of it.
Yeah, and your husband does.
My husband and my brother love football.
Right.
So I just decided I need to cultivate an interest in this.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, I'm going to be a football widow.
Right.
So often. And I don't like that. And I want to be with them. So what I did, Jerry, was I prayed. I said, God, there's got to be a reason people like this stuff.
Yeah.
Help me to cultivate a true interest. Not grin and bear it, but like I'm really going to get into it. And you know how he hooked me? When I found out how many of these players, when I say he, I mean God. God hooked me when I found out how many of these players are Christians, how many of them have testimonies, how many of them use their professional status to further the gospel. And I started to get to know them through the media as human beings instead of people clashing with each other and trying to hurt each other.
Do you watch football now once in a while?
When my husband does, but he doesn't even have time for it anymore.
Do you have a favorite team?
Probably, yeah, the San Francisco Giants.
Baseball.
That's baseball.
49ers. Okay.
49ers. Definitely. I'm a local girl. I don't know enough about, you know, I grew up outside of Washington, D.C., so my brother still loves the Redskins.
Right.
But I'm going for the local team.
Okay, we're going to continue our discussion on 10 things that make couples happy. We said they go to bed at the same time, cultivate some common interests. What's next? We'll let you know when we come back. Oh, this next one. Some men may have trouble with this one when we come back.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
All right, welcome back to the show. Last week, President Trump was in the Middle East, and I just saw this on the news. Melania Trump, he reached out for Melania Trump's hand to hold her hand, and she snapped it back. And the networks have been all over it. Just happened.
Of course.
Yeah, and it happened. And because maybe she didn't want to hold hands. We don't know what was going on in the marriage. You know, but it was clear that there was something wrong there. And I say that because we were talking with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place, and we're talking about considering the 10 things that happy couples do. We've gone through go to bed at the same time, cultivate some common interests, and we're now here at walk hand in hand or side by side.
Or side by side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some people have trouble with hand in hand because it feels like a public display of affection. People find that to be uncomfortable, that it should be kept in private.
Yeah, you know, that depends on a person's comfort level. My husband and I love to walk hand in hand. And mm-hmm. as you know, he's much taller and bigger than I am, mm-hmm. and I'm short and more diminutive. But we enjoy it. The problem is when he's wearing his clergy collar, people think he's Roman Catholic and he's walking hand in hand with his secretary.
Right.
And we get the strangest looks. So we try to refrain from doing that when he's wearing the collar.
Right.
But other times, and then we have complete strangers walk up to us and they always say the exact same phrase. They say, "You two look so cute."
Yeah.
And you know, when we
do you like that? Do you like that?
I don't know. It's like cute.
Yeah.
This is the love of my life. I'm not trying to look cute. And it sounds like, oh, look at these two older people.
Right,
they're still
right.
in love. So then I have to think, well, am I going to get triggered because of what other people think? Or do I really want to hold my husband's hand?
Right.
And I do. It also helps us to walk at the same rate.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's taller, he has longer legs, and, mm-hmm. you know, he could outdistance me very easily. Mm-hmm. And that can activate some of my Muslim upbringing buttons. You know, the woman walks behind and doesn't walk.
Has to be sort of subservient.
And so it also helps regulate our gait when we hold hands so that we're really together. But if we're with other clergy or it's a churchy thing mm-hmm. or he's wearing his collar, and he loves to embarrass me.
Okay.
I have to tell you that.
Okay.
He loves to embarrass me. We were at a church conference and we were in the elevator and he decided it was time to kiss me. And I was like, stop it, stop it.
Yeah.
And right then the doors open and there are these people watching this clergyman trying to kiss this woman
wow.
who's saying, stop it, stop it. And they get into the elevator and it's stone silent.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's just very, very tense. And I finally said, he's my husband and I'm not his secretary.
Yeah.
And they all laughed and they said, well, we were really worried about you, you know. But he'll do, or one time we went into a lingerie area of the store. And he's wearing his clergy collar, and he keeps picking up these flimsy things and saying, honey, how would you like to wear this? And I'm like, stop it. Would you stop it?
So what's neat is that Father Hansen sounds a little like me in that, very playful, and has sort of – I'm kind of do that with Kelly, too, because there's a certain freedom that comes with not being embarrassed.
Yes.
You know, you by not really giving a hoot whether what people think, as long as you know that your intentions are good.
Yes.
And I kind of like that.
Yeah.
So you think getting more to directly to the point, walking hand in hand or even side by side.
Yes. I think
right.
that's important because it shows that you value each other and that you're a couple,
mm-hmm.
that you're telling the world we belong to each other.
Right.
And there's an equality thing there.
Right.
You know, it's not the man who walks behind. Sometimes I see that. I feel so sorry for this. It looks like, to me, maybe I'm projecting, it looks like a henpecked husband
right.
walking behind the woman, and the woman's got this really determined look on her face, and he's looking very unhappy and following in her shadow. You know, that's not healthy either.
Have you been following me and my wife around?
Are you kidding?
Just joking.
Of course that isn't you.
Yeah, just kidding.
Yeah.
Well, I will say that once in a while, that kind of thing happens because people aren't aware of it. But I think some of it just comes down to just being aware.
Exactly. Be intentional about it.
Right.
Be intentional. And sometimes, you know, if couples have quarreled, it's hard to do that. And it might be the first step toward getting over the quarrel is if we have a habit when we go out that we walk side by side. And, you know, my husband likes to open doors for me and it does not offend me
right.
when he does that. You know, why drop these good habits if just because we've had a fight, it actually helps bring us closer. And it makes me, you know, begin to, my hard little heart begins to soften a little. And I remember, this is the guy I love so much. What am I so offended about?
You know, we're older. And do you find these types of ways or, I guess, mores are held by younger people as well in terms of holding hands side by side, showing opening doors, these kinds of things?
You know,
does it still exist nowadays?
I think
chivalry, we call it.
I think our generation kind of broke that. Mm-hmm. And I think now everybody's trying to find their own way. Mm-hmm. If I'm with a group of people where that's not the norm, I will open doors for everybody and stand there and be the door person and let everybody pass through.
Right.
But when I'm with my husband, I know what the norm is.
Uh-huh.
And I know that, you know, and I'm not talking about him coming around to my side of the car and opening my passenger side or anything like that. But if we come up to a door, he likes to open it for me. And I don't get all huffy and offended because I'm very secure as to who I am.
And some women do get offended by that.
Because they feel that it diminishes their importance or their stature or their status. And that's okay. You know, if that's the norm in their relationship, that's fine.
Wow, this went really fast.
Yes, it did.
All right. I believe that's the end of the show.
Yes.
Gosh, we'll continue this next Wednesday. Thanks so much for joining us, Gidi.
Thank you.
If you want to make an appointment with Gidi at The Growing Place, 588-0448, a licensed marriage and family therapist. We'll continue our discussion on this next time. So long, everybody.